Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we're back. Okay, I'm going to read you this article here, folks, and then have you comment on it. Now, the GOP-led Senate committee has identified the private contractor will hire to assist in taxpayer-funded review of the 2020 presidential election. A document shared with the Republican senators Thursday evening, obtained by Penn Live, identifies them as the Dubé, Iowa-based Envoy Sage LLC. The firm bills itself on its website as delivering ground truth and identifies itself as specializing in research and investigation, program management, and communications. The document states the firm meets all the key needs to conduct a thorough and impartial election investigation. It also states the firm has no political association with candidates who appeared in the 2020 or 2021 ballots in Pennsylvania. Among other qualifications, it lists Envoy Sage has worked with the Department of Defense under Republican and Democratic administrations and has decades of experience in handling sensitive and classified information. Senate Republican spokesman Jason Thompson declined comment about the document. It doesn't indicate how much the firm will be paid, although the cost will come out of the GOP caucus accounts. The firm's role will be to assist the 11-member bipartisan Senate Intergovernmental Operations Committee in the investigation into the conduct of presidential elections. This is great news for the people of Pennsylvania and all of America. Pennsylvania was for President Trump, and we all know it. It was time this be confirmed once and for all. So how much confidence do you guys have in who it was that hired this firm?
None.
So you think it's...
All respect due to that firm, Pastor Ernie. We're done needing an investigation. It's at the point where we need a forensic audit and we need to start counting things and we need canvassing being done in the state. We already know there's fraud here, rampant election fraud. We don't need any more proof of that. We need to actually get down to the data now and start doing the audit. And we had so much data that we already know. Let me quote some data for you. We had over 29,000 duplicate registrations in Pennsylvania. We had over 300,000 voter registrations removed from the SURE system after November 3rd last year. We had, 55,823 voters backfilled into our SURE system. They were making up votes. I heard from one of the analysts that their agenda was to either take 1,500 votes from Trump or give 1,500 votes to Biden in every county in Pennsylvania. We know every single county in Pennsylvania had election fraud. And it's time that we need to stop doing research in committees and asking ourselves, did it occur? We know it occurred. We need, at this point, to get the forensic audit running because we're on a timetable. We're running out of time.
And I think that's the plan, quite honestly. I think that's what they want.
And, it's usually not the opposition. It's those within your own house that usually cause you, in this case, the rhinos. They're the enemy from within. And that's where a lot of our problems go. And again, that's why that President Trump is not in the White House today, is because those people that were supposed to stand with him. And you heard Mike Pence say, well, he had Constitution. Well, the Constitution gave Mike Pence not only the authority, but it gave him the responsibility to say, look, there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of questions about the authenticity of this election, and we need to take a week or 2 weeks and look in before I certify this to look into the legitimacy of the complaints that are before me. That was his job.
Yes.
But he betrayed us, didn't he?
Yes. And what a lot of people don't realize about Pennsylvania is we have a Republican-dominated Senate and a Republican-dominated House, and the leaders of both are our legislators right here in Center County. That's why we had the whole state looking at us, and that's why we were all so busy trying to find answers here, especially in Center County, and we were just mortified. We had more voters in Pennsylvania in the 2020 election than we actually had registered. So it's like that alone is evidence that something really, really wrong happened here. And any third grader could have looked at that data and figured that out. And we don't need to be doing any more research and finding, you know, more. We need to actually get down and do the audit. And unfortunately, you know, Mr. Corman failed to listen to our concerns, refused to see the fraud, even in his own county that we're showing to him. He allowed the Act 70, he promoted the Act 77, opened up the door for all this fraud, and then he certified that election. He allowed it to be certified. It was our legislators that had the power to keep that from occurring. And he tried to stop it at the 11th hour, 59th minute, once it was over at Congress, which was just for optics, just like what this election investigation that he's continuing to troll out. And the only reason he even did that is because he saw the voters were no longer going to keep voting him in as the dynasty winner from his father, that our eyes were now open, the scales were off our eyes, and we were no longer going to play this game anymore, and we wanted something done. So then there, when he realized that was happening, I think his ego got the best of him, and he ended up really cutting off Senator Mastriano at the knees. I think he was one of only a few legislators in our state that we could see was he was really doing something. We were watching his nightly fireside chats, and we were getting information. We were not getting it from our own legislators, so we're going to some man who's from Lebanon County, I believe, trying to get answers from him. Yeah.
And wasn't one of his name Benninghoff, the representative you have up there?
Yes,
didn't he get a contribution from Twitter or someone for the election administration in his county?
I'm not sure. Do you know, Margaret?
I don't know anything about Twitter. I just Mark Zuckerberg money.
One of the media's social media's made a contribution.
Oh, Facebook. Yeah. It was Facebook.
Yeah, I knew it was one of them. One of them made a contribution of tens of thousands of dollars to his county to help run the election, right?
Oh, yeah. Zuckerberg said that he could flip 15 million votes. He had enough, you know, and of course that's what they did, by buying this Dominion and these others. And in Pennsylvania, it seemed like Pennsylvania was just open, that they were saying, okay, come on in here. We've got absolutely nobody looking, nobody watching what's going on here. Just come on in. And also in Michigan, it was terrible in Michigan, too. But
Pastor Ernie, I contacted Senator Corman's office and asked them to come on and defend and explain what happened here with Chris and Margaret, and to answer the questions that were going to be posed here tonight, and heard nothing back. And, you know, you mentioned Dominion. They were supposed to meet with a committee of legislators in the state of Pennsylvania to be questioned about their voting machines.
And I heard they refused to show.
Yeah, as far as I know, that was the end of it. They just said, no, we're not coming, and that was the end. Maybe these ladies have a little more information about that, too.
Well, I know that when Senator Mastriano was running it, he actually was going through to get some subpoenas, I believe, and then he had a meeting set up to sunshine it out, and they shut down his meeting. They took away, I think he tried the meeting twice, Margaret.
Yes, he did, yeah. And I believe Mr. Corman's office called and told all his staff that the meeting was off and never notified Senator Mastriano.
And then finally, as a voter in this state, I understand that Senator Mastriano is a gentleman, but I will be honest with you. When I saw him on War Room with Steve Bannon, and he finally came out and told the nation the truth of what was happening in Pennsylvania on how they were stonewalling his efforts to get something done here, they had gone out and looked at the Arizona audit and how it was done. Reports came back that it was very well run. We were so hopeful here, and then we all got shut down. And at that morning on War Room, the actual truth came out that who was stopping all this? Senator Cornyn. And it bled of truth, and I was like, wow. And at that point right then, I thought, this man can never be reelected again. There was no doubt in my mind after that point he was corrupt. And what happened to me and Margaret that night at that business where we were going to listen to our legislator, when we called the police, the one detective that ended up responding towards our call, you know, he didn't even want to take the witnesses' names. They had one agenda, and that was to get us outside. They even said to us, you can protest outside in the lot. Like, they're going to allow you to do that. And I'm like, listen, they're not going to allow us to do anything because we have rights here. They're not, you know, we have a right to be here. We've done nothing wrong. And I'll be truthful with you. We're not here to protest. If we wanted to protest, we'd have brought signs. But what we needed was for them to gather the evidence of the crime that just occurred, of the harassment and grabbing her CCTV. Because we were going to, you know, the first thought in my mind was, I'm going to sue for my rights. This is wrong. I'm a retired police officer, and a police officer couldn't have done what his nephew did and what this other man was doing to Margaret and ordering us out, violating our free speech, you know, seizing some of us and treating us differently than other constituents when we'd done nothing wrong. So when any kind of politician can pick and choose who can come into a venue, that comes to be a very scary time. We're already facing a lot of censorship on social media that's out of our control. But when we can't even go and speak or show up to an event and you know, listen to our senator, hear what he has to say, ask him questions, or quite frankly, confront him if need be, that is our right. So if we're not allowed to do that, when I have a police officer telling me, no, you have to leave, just it's a private event. And that's what they kept saying. It's a private event.
They kept saying, yes. And they actually.
And if I interject something here, here's something John McTernan and I can relate to. These officers were paid to be there, not by the police department. They were asked to be there by Cornyn's campaign people, but they were paid from taxpayer dollars from a separate fund, not out of their police wages. And Cornyn campaign, my understanding is he did not pay for them to be there. The taxpayers paid for them to be there. Is that correct?
That's correct, John. And on Wednesday, a little bit over a week of I hadn't heard anything in over a week from the detective. We had given him four statements. I had no response from the emails. So, you know, I called, left a voicemail. He returned a call to me. And the first thing he was very confrontational with me. Why are they giving their statements to you? I said, well, to be honest, you didn't do your job that night. To be more honest, you actually gave us the feeling that you were the long hand of the security force for them, not acting as a cop. A cop wouldn't have allowed them to violate our, you know, rights. A cop would have listened to us when we're telling you this was a public event advertised publicly. We had reservations. If you just go look at that book, our names are in it. And have you asked them the golden question? What did they do wrong to ask them to leave when so many people are not being asked to leave? How are they being treated differently and why? And they didn't ask that. You can't make someone leave because you think they're going to do something upstairs. So after a week of nothing being done that I could
see. I had him call me back, and he was confrontational, and he said, well, I don't think this is official oppression, which is what I was telling him it was getting into, because we had numerous people. There's a law in Pennsylvania of official oppression. So when he heard that, he said, well, this isn't official oppression. And I said, well, I understood it that the DA was going to make this decision. And here we have this detective making the decision. So I said, listen, not only is it official oppression, it's being extended to you, detective. You were hired by that campaign, weren't you? And he said, yeah, we were there on the job. And once he had told me that, I said, well, you might want to have your chief call me back. I'm going to have to talk to your chief. So while we were off the, I got off the phone with the detective, and on Wednesday I contacted the how to get the right to know paperwork to request this financial information. I went to, they directed me over to the township supervisor, who was very nice, and he told me, you know, like, well, what are you going to request? You know, just get a generic form. I said, well, I'm going to want minimally the financial, how this was paid for. He told me, well, I'll tell you how it was paid for. It was paid out of the general coffers, you know, what the general fund, how we pay the officers routinely. And I said, well, you know, this was a campaign for governor. It was not him as senator in this particular, you know, this was his launching campaign. He shouldn't have the right to be getting special privileges of a very small police force, too. Spring Township probably only fields one or two officers any night. I'm not even sure if they field them 7 days a week. Very small department. Very
Margaret, what was that officer's name?
The chief?
No, the officer
Nelson?
That...
Detective Nelson.
Okay.
Detective Nelson.
Yeah. And just some... When I talked to his chief, you know, he spoke well about the officer. I was an officer for 17 years before I retired. And you know, there's different things since I was a cop, but I got back to people. My communications were fairly quick within a day or two. When you have victims, you take care of the victim's needs. You know, you see a statement come in, you at least thank them for the statement, and you get back to them. You don't, you know, tell them, well, this is a private event a week later. I had already showed him the proof that it wasn't a private event. He was still on that a week later. I knew we were getting nowhere, but the chief differed. Chief Salyards was very good. He said, you know, well, I was very interested on the links that you showed us on how you got your reservations. I can see that that was not exactly how I felt it was private. Obviously, you guys did get there. You did have a right to be there in the public publication of that. He confirmed, Chief Salyards, that the actual request for police presence came in from Stephen T. Miller, who is, I believe, the guy who asked you to leave, Margaret, right?
That's correct.
So Stephen T. Miller is the one who requested police presence. He's with the Corman campaign, has been around him. We saw him at Grange Fair over the summer, so we know he's tightly in the Corman camp working for him. That gentleman had called asking for police presence, and this following day called back and asked the chief, can it be in plain clothes? Now, I don't know why you'd want it in plain clothes other than to get rid of any cameras. Republicans love cops. We love the presence of cops. It doesn't generate any problems for us. And unfortunately, when you ask a police department to provide police presence in plain clothes, that now makes that officer completely yours for security detail, because if they get a call, they can't break from that to go handle a call. So they became a private police force for that campaign that night. And unfortunately, all signs from what they're telling me is it was not paid for by that campaign. We have 16 or 17 other Republicans running for that particular office of governor. We have at least one Democrat. Now, this little police department now has got themselves to where they're going to have to treat these other candidates for governor just the same. And anybody else who wants to run a political campaign is going to have a right now to say, hey, why don't I get police protection?
I don't know about that. I think this is a worth the call to the AG's office, because I really don't think what they did is going to pass muster.
Yeah,
that's. I would be calling the Attorney General and running this by him, because that does not seem. I mean, I could be wrong, and I haven't looked at any law regarding it, but that doesn't seem right.
Senator Cormann definitely would have known better. He definitely would have known better. This chief is a brand new chief. I don't think he's been on the job for a whole year yet. I believe the township supervisor is brand new too. So this is a small department. They might not have known any better, but definitely that Cormann has been in politics a long time. He knows you need to separate your Senate work from your campaign work, and he did not. He's asking for police services as if he's a senator, and that's not what that campaign night was for.
Well, it sounds to me like it's Senator Mastriano is who you need as governor. Okay. Out of all of these candidates running, is there anyone that stands out, anyone that you can see that is honest and fair and not a rhino?
Doug Mastriano is the only one that I know of.
He is running for governor
right now.
Pardon?
He hasn't committed yet, to my knowledge, Pastor Ernie.
Not yet. He's debating jumping into the race.
The senator out there, I think you have a whole lot of support if you do. And, I know, because I've heard nothing from the Patriots and the real Republicans but good about him. So, anyhow, here's the problem we have, ladies. For years and years, our side, or the Republicans, have... they have not stood, as hard as they should for principles in that. They've let the Democrats bully them. The Democrats know that they cannot, there's no way that they can ever win an honest, legitimate election. That their party is corrupt from top to bottom. There is not anything at all. There's nothing left about the Democratic Communist Party that has not been corrupted. Nothing. The entire thing. Now, we don't even have a Justice Department. The DOJ has basically just become a strong-arm division of the Democratic Communist Party. And for 8 years, when Barack Obama was in office, and I know I've mentioned this, but I'm going to do it because it's worthy to mention over and over. For that 8 years, when you had all of these people saying that Obama is incompetent, he's not up to the job. Bill O'Reilly was saying, the guy's just not up to the job, he's incompetent. And I would say, no, you don't understand. He is just doing more damage to this country than any of our enemies abroad, much more. Because for that 8 years, he was putting the most corrupt people. It's almost like he sent to hell and said, I need some people to fill these jobs. Right from the pit of hell, he found the most corrupt people, and he was appointing them to the most strategically important places in government. He purged 12 four-star generals who were men that were loyal to God and country. And then altogether, over 250 high-ranking officers he purged from the military. But he was placing the most ungodly, anti-Christ, anti-American people in strategic places. And this was starting to happen. George Soros started buying these, they used to be called attorney generals, okay? Now they're prostituting, and that's what they are. They're prostituting. They're bought and paid for, and he was placing them strategically, especially in all your areas where there was going to be crime in the major cities. And that was going on, and especially there in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania, we saw this. John McTiernan can tell you about the corruption when a police department goes a-whoring. When they go a-whoring and they're bought and paid for, John, you could tell her about York, PA, can't you?
Oh, yeah, Pastor Ernie. That was, what an eye-opener getting down into York and Standing for Life at the abortion center. And we had... the city of York and county of York we had the whole political apparatus against us. And it was everything you could think of, phony arrests, kangaroo court. Well, it was the judges, the district attorney, the chief of police, the lieutenants in the police, children and youth, the mayor. Who else, John, did we have down there? But yeah, they all were behind Planned Parenthood. Totally corrupt, Pastor. Totally.
Yeah. And that's where we found out that you could rent a cop and get the gun, the badge, the car, the whole nine yards, and basically give them their marching orders, because John and I played like good cop, bad cop. We were talking to one of them, and he let it out of the bag. He said, he looked over at the Planned Parenthood director there and said,
yes.
She wants you guys arrested, right? And then we had found out that they were being paid by them.
I found out they got paid $37.50 an hour to come in the squad car, uniform, gun, badge, the whole bit. And what they did was they didn't pay the cops directly. They paid them. They paid it into the York City Police, some fund, and then the fund paid the cops. So they washed it. They washed the money.
Yeah,
but we had another cop there that told us it was all cordon, and he arrested, just jumped up charges on some of our people there, and I was confronting him about it, and he said, "Well, we coordinated this with the district attorney. This is all coordinated with the district attorney." So it was at the highest levels of the county. And they have one 65-year-old woman, that Pastor Ernie, that they arrested her for supposedly assaulting one of the employees of Planned Parenthood. And when the trial came, Planned Parenthood wouldn't produce the videotape, and the judge allowed the trial to go forward without the videotape. That's the corrupt York. We appealed it, and that judge demanded that they produce the video, so they did. And our person was cleared because she was actually attacked by the Planned Parenthood employee, not our pro-life person. So, I mean, it's this abortion like that really corrupts, Pastor Ernie. It really corrupts. And what Planned Parenthood did, was they had a lot of people working with them, like doctors and lawyers. So they'd split up. And some of them would work to put Republican judges and district attorneys. The others would work for the Democrats. So whoever won, Planned Parenthood won.
Go ahead, Margaret. Was that Margaret that was talking?
No, it was Chris.
Yeah, that was Chris. One thing I just want to tell you guys, I mean, Center County, you know, like having come from one of the police departments in Center County, I can speak for the officers here. They are probably some of the more educated and highly trained in the state. We, you know, haven't seen a lot of corruption here like we've seen in Philly, York, Erie, Pittsburgh. But the one thing you had brought up, Pastor Ernie, that I wanted to bring to your attention on Corman is we had been doing some research. If you go to transparencyusa.org and look up, you know, like PA donors to different politicians here. Guess who's listed on Mr. Corman's list of donors?
George Tell me it's Soros. Planned Parenthood.
I wouldn't doubt it if they're on here too, but I do see George Soros on the list.
Oh boy, that tells you right there.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm going to tell you. Now that's what you've got to get people in Pennsylvania have to know. That's all they need to know is that Soros is the most corrupt, wicked, evil, unbelievable. This guy, he is so evil, and he will only buy people that he can buy and pay for. And so, as far as I'm concerned, Soros is a billionaire pimp, and he buys prostitutes, and that's what he does. And if you go take the God's Word, the Bible, and it tells you it doesn't stutter, it tells you they've gone a whoring. They've gone a whoring. And so, in fact, I can tell you, I can read it to you. Let me read it to you here very quickly, just so you hear what he says. He said, and they have, this is Hosea chapter 4, verse 12. My people ask counsel at their stocks and their staff, declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms had caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. That's exactly what they've done. That's exactly what they've done. They've been corrupted. And so, John, when we were in Toledo, remember what happened there when those crooked cops were there? Are you still there, McTernan?
I'm here. You like kind of, I don't, not stared them down. You spoke them down, and they took off. And then the media was there, and you took them head on, and they took off.
What happened, ladies, there in Toledo, when through eminent domain, the city was taking the abortion mill because they were going to build a stadium. So they were moving out, and I was called and asked to come and speak by Toledo Right to Life. And so John and I and Pastor Luke went down there, and they had a podium platform set up. And here, well, what happened was these ladies, these Christian ladies, when they went in to just try to witness to those, and those witches, and when I'm telling you witches, tell them, John.
Literal witches.
They were literally.
They had satanic meetings in that abortion center.
The tables were lined up. They had every station. They had all the herbs, the things, the brown candles, all of the witchcraft paraphernalia. And then they had at every station an NIV Bible open to a certain passage. And it was unbelievable. But anyhow, these Christian women had gone in to try to speak to them. And these women, yeah, remember, these witches actually took brooms. So that tells you, they took brooms and they started beating these Christian ladies. And they called the police, the Christians called the police. The police came down and they added in, they helped out the witches because they were on the payroll. And so what happened was when we were speaking here, first of all, there was an apostate church. Well, you know, right there, very close to where I was at. And the ladies asked me, they said, Pastor, how can an abortion mill exist in the shadow of a church? And I said, you're assuming and presuming that's an actual church. If that was an actual church, this abortion mill could not exist here. But it's not. It's apostate. And then you had to my left upon that little hill, you had the media, remember? And to the right, you had three police cars sitting there watching us, and they said, how can we get these police officers to obey the law and do their job and not take money from Planned Parenthood? And the cops were sitting there with their windows down. I said, you're assuming and presuming that these are official police officers that have taken an oath to the Constitution. Those are whores and prostitutes, and that's exactly. And you know what? When I said that, John, what happened?
Oh, they drove off.
They took out of there in a hurry. And then they said, well, how can we get the media? You had the TV stations there to tell the truth. And I said, you're assuming and presuming they've got any interest at all in telling you the truth. And then they took off, didn't they?
And so, you cleaned them all out there, Ernie.
Yeah, know the truth, and the truth will make them flee. Yeah, and did. But you see, that's what you have. You have the corruption. This is the day we're living in today. We're living in a time that God's Word, the Bible, speaks very clearly of. It calls it the evil day, okay? And we're seeing what we're seeing is referred to as birth pains in the Bible. And so God has raised us up, though, ladies. God has raised us up for such a time as this. Now here, where we're at, I happen to live in a county where we have a very strong Tea Party. And we have a sheriff who's a constitutional sheriff, and he goes by the Constitution. In fact, you know what he did? He was one of the ones that signed on as an amica brief to stop this mandate, Biden's vaccine mandate and mask mandate. And they signed on to that, the sheriff's department. And he put out a poster saying, we are not going to mandate vaccines or masks in this county. That will not be done. And he put those posters all around. And so, here you go. This is here, Matthew 24, verse 8. All these are the beginnings of sorrows, and all those things that we're seeing happening today. The anti-God, the Antichrist, the rise of, you know, they're passing these killing laws where you can kill babies. You know. Now they want to raise them up to 2 years old and just keep going after they're born. They want, there's not enough innocent blood running through the veins of these children to quench the thirst of these wicked people. And so you got to get you folks out there in Pennsylvania, do you have a tea party there?
Yes, there is a tea party.
Well, Pastor Ernie, we have Lamps of Liberty now. And I would say that, join up with Lamps of Liberty. You can join up on, we gave out the information on here before, but it's on the Facebook, and then they have, I think it's lampsofliberty.org. And in that regard, I got a message from Tony DiGiuseppe, who was the guest and talked specifically about what they did to, what Corman did to Senator Mastriano. And he has joined up with an organization in Pennsylvania called Gun Owners of America. And they have a special invitation for the listeners of What's Right, What's Left. They'll give you a discount and a gift if you want to join up with the organization. It's 45 years old. And they do not compromise. They're standing firm to protect our Second Amendment rights. And if go on the internet to gunowners.org/left-right. gunowners.org/left-right. And they give you a special discount. And I don't know what the gift is yet. I didn't have time to check it all out. But, Lamps of Liberty and Pennsylvania.
Lampsofliberty.com.
Is that what it is? .com? Okay.
Yeah, we just actually joined them recently, and so far it sounds like they're going to be really good for the grassroots in Pennsylvania.
Well, we want to do all we can to help them out because, you know, we're in a battle. You know, we are in a civil war. You keep hearing people talking about the dangers of Russia. Our worst enemies are right here, okay? They're domestic. They're the Democratic Communist Party. They want to totally destroy this country. They know that they cannot win a fair election. They can't win it. And they know that. And so they're going to do everything they can. Look for them to try to have another shutdown. Look for Biden to try to shut the... They know that if people go out to the polls, and they know now that people are going to be watching. We're going to be looking for voter fraud, which we tried. We begged people, telling them, look, this is, remember, in 2016, on November 8th, on that very day of the election when Trump won, I said right there on the radio that night that the 2020 election will be the most corrupt in the history of the country. The election fraud is going to be the worst that it's ever been. And we showed you how Mark Zuckerberg was bragging that they had the ability, big tech, to flip 15 million votes. I watched as we were watching the votes on television. I watched them flip them upside down right before our very eyes. Yeah. We saw them flipped upside down, and then they tried to tell us that who are you going to believe, us? And that's where I lost. With Fox News, some of those people that I had an opinion of that had some credibility, they lost them. Brent Baer, right there, I watched Brent Baer sit there, looked right in that camera, and lied like a rug. And, of course, we knew some of the others, like little Chrissy, what's his name, Wallace. You know, we knew that's way, but they looked up, and they purposely lied. And here, you actually have, these people are contracted to lie. They're contracted to lie. They don't call it, when they sign that contract, the word they use for lie is narrative. That you will take the narrative given, In other words, whatever lie we tell you to tell, that's what you're going to do. And they sign a contract agreeing to that. And every now and then, the conscience will get to them, and they say, we can't take it no more. And they tell the truth, and as soon as they do that, they're fired.
Some of the more games that they played in Pennsylvania just in our last primary. In Center County, we had several questions for referendum that would have shut down Governor Wolf's ability to just shut our businesses down and everything with these mandates, you know, just never ending. And one of the referendums was them limiting it to, I believe, 30 days. Is that right, Margaret? 30?
I believe so.
And then the legislators had to confirm if it was going to go any longer on an emergency order. Well, the people got out in droves, and especially the Republican base got out, and we showed up to our election polls in the morning, and guess who they ran out of ballots for? The Democrats or the Republicans?
Yeah.
27 precincts ran out of Republican ballots only. So they were trying to shut us down. We still managed to win that referendum and to control how much damage any governor, not just Governor Wolf, but any governor in our future can do using an emergency order. But also what we learned during that primary, a lot of people were really smart. And they've been telling us for years that these machines are not hooked up to the Internet, that there's no way that they can be hacked. Well, people took out their phones while they were near their polling places. And very interesting, what they found is while watching their Internet, you know, how you see how you can see what Internet pops up on your phone, they were seeing whenever a ballot would go into a machine that this particular address would come up, and then when the ballot was done, it would go away. So we took screenshots of that and videos of that, documenting that, and they continue to tell us it's just the normal amount of voter fraud. There is no normal amount of voter fraud. And until we get voter ID and until we start going back to paper ballots, having some sort of watermark that can secure our elections, I don't think I'll ever trust them. I'll keep voting, and I will keep fighting for, you know, fair and free elections. I'm not going to give up and stay home, but they have to do something. We can't keep doing this.
No, they haven't gone away. Big tech, Zuckerberg and the whole rest, they're not going away. They're corrupted to the core. Like I said, there's nothing at all about that entire Democratic County platform that's not corrupt, the entire thing. And we have these rhinos that are bought and paid for, too. And so, I mean, the thing of it is, God has raised us up. We have to stand and we have to fight and push back. From Genesis to Revelation, God's word, the Bible, tells you resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Resistance to tyranny, obedience to God. Failure to resist tyranny is always disobedience to God. And what one chapter that characterized that kind of sizes it all up is Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 sizes it all up. And so we have to stand and we have to fight. He gives you three missions, Margaret or Chris. One, first and foremost is the Great Commission. That's first and foremost. That's what we go at mission one. Mission two, from Genesis to Revelation, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. And number three is we are to hold fast, to the professions of the prophets and the traditions of the prophets. Stand fast, hold your ground, don't back up. And that's what God's Word, the Bible, tells you, 2 Thessalonians 2:10. So those are what we're to do. That's our mission, those three missions. And God has raised us up for such a time as this, and so we have our marching orders, don't we?
We sure do.
Yes, we do.
Well, I want to thank you ladies for coming on and sharing this, because, you see, you just shined a light. We have thousands and thousands and thousands of listeners in the state of Pennsylvania. And we just shined a light on that. And we want to continue to Glamps of Liberty and whatever we can do here to get the message out to the folks out there. Let us know, because we, you know, we're in this battle. There's no quit here. No quitting here at all. So.
Well, thank you again for the platform. We're going to keep standing, you know, and facing this giant before us. We have a police investigation that's ongoing. We're putting our faith right now that our DA is just, and that he will look at the facts in the case, and that he will see it as we see it. It's minimally a harassment, definitely looking more like official oppression. We are going to find us an attorney and go forward with a federal civil rights violation lawsuit. And we are all going to be putting in an ethics violation to our Senate, our PA Senate. And so from what I understand, they have to do something about an ethics violation. They can't just, you know, sweep it away.
Well, whatever we can do to help, you let me know, because we'll be in there with you with both feet. We'll jump right in that battle.
Thank you so much.
And
what
is the I'm just thinking, John, the attorney we had, Rentz. There's an attorney here in Ohio, Attorney Rentz, and he handles cases like that, but he's got some big ones going on right now. I don't know if he would have time to take that. But
they would have
right,
to be able to do practice law in the circuit courts of Pennsylvania. That would have to be the requirement.
All right. Let me, if there's any attorneys out there listening tonight who want to help out and take this, you know, especially in right there in your area, who do they call?
They can contact John. John has my information. We have four victims right now, myself and Margaret included, and we're all standing right now, firm and strong, together.
All right, very good. Well, I thank you ladies so much for staying here. Stay in there, hang in, because John McTernan is going to tell us the most important thing. The most important thing, that there's only one thing that's going to be the most important thing that will matter to all of us. The time is coming, and there's no chance this won't happen. To every single person that is alive right now, the time will come when the only thing that will matter to them is whether they're saved or not. Huh, John?
Well, Pastor Ernie, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto man to once to die, and after this the judgment. So everybody, Pastor Ernie, is going to have to face this. God's judgment is perfect, and every sin will have to be accounted for, and there's penalties. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, yes, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And God, no one on his own or her own can stand before God, because he's perfect. He's holy in all his ways. He is without sin. And man is sinful and rebelling, serious rebelling against God, all of us. It's things you
last part
we
of,
don't even know.
John, do you remember? Yeah. Do you remember the last part of that verse that you just said? Because that's very important. Because the last part of that, if you remember, it says, "And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation."
Without sin unto salvation. Yeah. So I kind of shared the bad news with you, but the good news is that for God so loved the world. And the proof of that is he sent his only begotten Son. God commanded his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God wants us reconciled to him. He wants us to have eternal life with him. He wants us, you know, Pastor Ernie, when Christ comes for us, we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the Bible describes our, we're going to say, heavenly abode as the New Jerusalem. These are all the things in the scriptures, folks. But sin must be dealt with. There's a penalty for sin. And that involves repentance of turning a life away without Jesus Christ to Jesus Christ and his word, acknowledging that we have sinned and that Christ died on the cross, shed his blood to pay for the penalty for our sin. And if we confess him and believe that he died on the cross for our sin and rose again from the dead, and we confess him, that's with repentance, God will forgive us, and we can have assurance of eternal life with him, Pastor.
Well, I mean, how do we know that God's word, the Bible, is true? A lot of people believe in evolution and stuff like that. So how do we know that we can depend upon God's word, the Bible, because it says of itself that heaven and earth will pass, but it will stand?
Well, Pastor Ernie, right. It stood all these millennia now. But I like to look, when people ask me that question, I like to look at prophecy. And we have all that scriptures about the destruction of the nation of Israel and the rebirth of the nation of Israel right before the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I point people to, hey, you can get on a plane, fly over to Tel Aviv, get out, take a bus or cab or car up to Jerusalem, and there you are. All the prophecies about, you can hear them speak Hebrew. You can hear they have shekels for money. Jerusalem's the capital. And Israel hadn't been a nation for about 1,900 plus years. There it is, Pastor Ernie. It's right there again. And the Bible says that God is going to bring the Jews back into the land, and Jerusalem, Israel is a nation, Jerusalem is the capital, prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. So this, in my opinion, that's tangible, solid proof to the authority of God's word.
Yeah, and that's unique in the history of the world, that a nation would be destroyed, dispersed, and back in their land. That's unique to Israel.
Not once, John, but twice. The Babylonians did it and the Romans did it.
Yeah, yep. So it's unique. No other nation ever.
The other thing that's very unique is you got over 1,800 prophecies. And you know, mathematically, with just four of those being fulfilled, the mathematical odds are there was like one with 130 zeros behind it. The Stanford Math College did some real stats on that. But for all of those prophecies to be fulfilled in Scripture, the number was one with over 230 zeros. And remember what Biden always says, follow the science, right? Anyhow, folks, there you go. Ladies, I want to thank you for being here with us. You have a very, very, very Merry Christmas. And folks, listen to what he's saying. God's word will, is, and now doing exactly what he said. Till tomorrow, good night. God bless. And always, always, let's do it, fellas. Keep fighting the fight.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.